For SearchSecurity.com, I'm Rob Westerveld. You're listening to Security Wire Weekly for January 30th, 2008. This edition, Sam Masiello of MX Logic joins us on the phone to talk about the re-emergence of PDF spam. Also, a look at the week's news, a researcher is warning about a new do-it-yourself phishing program, and Barracuda Networks enlists the open source community in its patent battle against Trend Micro. And now the news. Security researchers at FaceTime Communications are warning about a do-it-yourself phishing program. The program helps amateur phishers target social networking sites like MySpace and Facebook. A hacking website was discovered by FaceTime where phishers can get automatically generated text. That text can be used to create phishing emails, and those emails are tailored to steal passwords. Once a victim clicks on a malicious link in the email, they are taken to a site where the information can be stolen, like most phishing emails. And the researchers have been trying to get the site offering the text shut down. Well, PDF spam seemed to emerge and then quickly disappear last summer. Now, MX Logic says PDF spam has returned on the radar screen. With me to talk about the re-emergence is Sam Masiello. Sam is Director of Threat Management at MX Logic. He joins us on the phone.
It's a really small wave here of PDF spam, but I guess it's significant. Talk a little bit about why there is some significance to this, even though it's, what, less than half a percentage point of all spam volume?
Yeah, and so if you think back, I don't know if you were much involved with PDF spam back when it was popular back in June, July of 2007. Mm-hmm. But when it fell off the radar, you know, when it went away, it was gone completely. We didn't see hardly any PDF spam traffic at all until just yesterday when we started to see this small blip again. And so it could be a couple of things. It could be someone testing out the waters with PDF spam again to see whether or not some of the old methods and ways that people were using to fight PDF spam are, you know, maybe kind of aged off and aren't being used anymore. Or it could just be a spammer who isn't really kept up with the new spam tactics, trying to see, you know, whether or not PDF spam still works. So it could be a number of different things. It could be somebody testing the waters. It could be the calm before the storm. We may see a dramatic increase of PDF spam again. Probably not likely. Most folks have PDF spam pretty well figured out after the last run we saw in the middle of last year. So even if it did come back, we have some pretty good ways to fight it already.
Even though it's relatively small, you still discovered it. I mean, what sort of techniques are out there right now, including what MX Logic has, that where you were able to mm-hmm. discover it quite quickly, despite it being so low on the radar?
Well, we have as a managed service, we kind of have the advantage of having a very large window of visibility. So even if things are fairly small, we can still, small in volume, we can still pick up on them pretty easily. And plus, from a detection standpoint, we have a product called Deep Content Analysis. But it's not really a product. It's part of our stack classification framework, which is part of our anti-spam framework. Mm-hmm. And so with Deep Content Analysis, we can treat a message more holistically and not just treat it such as message body content and header content, but we also delve into the attachment content for PDFs as well to see whether or not there's any spammy content in there.
Sure.
So it was pretty easy from our standpoint for our product to pick up, and from our threat center to identify, even with a small volume, just based on that large window of visibility and some of the enhancements that we made to our product in an effort to dig into that attachment-based content.
Wouldn't it be an advantage to the spammers to actually keep the volume low on this particular type of spam?
Generally, yes. Generally, your smaller, more localized attacks are typically less likely to be detected. But in this case, it was pretty obvious based on the subject lines that we saw that it was something that potentially could be malicious or something that was at least suspicious in nature. All the subject lines were related to something medical. I put in the blog posting there were a few broken English, bad translation sort of subject lines. But then as we kept looking later in the day, we saw some additional subject lines such as tough issue pharmacy offer. Again, more of the broken English, bad grammar sort of subject lines, but things that were very clearly related to pharmacy pill type spam. So even with the small volumes, the blatant nature of the subject lines tipped us off pretty quickly.
So far, there's nothing other than the fact that it's spam. There's nothing malicious in nature that's coming with the PDF message, right? I mean, there's no phishing.
No, there's nothing malicious. Nothing malicious. It's just a PDF attachment with some text-based content. It's pretty similar to some of the stuff we were seeing previously with the old PDF spam runs. Like there'll be a couple lines on the top of the PDF that are the advertisement for the pill spam, and then there'll be anywhere from, at least in this particular instance, there was about three-quarters of a page of text-based or text chaff, word salad, random words. In some of the previous runs, we'd see sometimes 4, 5, 6, 7 pages of that word salad, but in this case, the PDF was actually pretty small. Most of the PDFs that we saw were only about 3K in size or so. And so it was compacted onto one page. The top part of it was an advertisement. The second three-quarters of the page was just this word salad. And then the bottom of the page was typically another broken English-type advertisement, but with the text of which was pretty similar to what was in the actual message body itself. But most of the information that they were trying to get across was in that top three lines where they had a random URL for the user to go to. And so not much different as far as this spam in relation to the previous spam runs, but there was nothing malicious associated with it.
Are we seeing anything new out there? Image spam was all the rage for a little while. Is there anything new going on, or is it just the same old, same old?
It's been a lot of Stormworm. So we've seen a lot of new Stormworm variants over the course of the last year or so. In fact, Storm just had its one-year birthday, if you will, a couple days ago. And so I don't know if you've been covering the Stormworm variant too closely, but there was a new Valentine's Day variant that came out about a week and a half or so ago. So the Stormworm's really been the big thing in the email front. Outside of email, though, they've been going a lot more towards stealthier methods of infection, such as, I don't know if you saw a story on MBR, Master Boot Record rootkits.
Oh, yeah.
About a week or two ago. And now there's another big story coming out talking about a concept called drive-by farming, which actually was a concept. You know, people talked about it about a year ago as potentially being something somebody could do to take over somebody's DSL router, but there hadn't been any sort of active exploits in the wild. Where as of the other day, on the 22nd, so it was Tuesday, there was the first exploit of this drive-by farming that took place where it was attempting to exploit people going to this specific Mexican bank.
Interesting. And explain what drive-by farming is for those who may not know.
So what drive-by farming is it's actually quite clever from the standpoint of being able to get a user infected without the user ever really having to do anything other than just their normal web surfing. So here's how drive-by farming works. Hackers go out and look for vulnerable DSL routers, routers that have still their default passwords on them, and take advantage of that to get into the DSL router, change the DNS settings so that in this particular case, if, say for example, you had a compromised DSL router, the hacker got into your router and changed your DNS settings such that whenever you tried to go to this specific Mexican bank's website, instead of directing you to the bank's website, it would direct you to a malicious site that looked exactly like the original bank site. And so when you try to log in, they would steal your login credentials and then rob you.
And finally this week, Barracuda Networks is asking the open source community for help in its patent battle with Trend Micro. The two companies have been at odds over Barracuda Networks' use of ClamAV, that's an open source tool, in its web security gateway. Barracuda is asking the open source supporters to submit works of prior art in order to build its defense in the case, and Trend Micro contends it owns a patent that protects the process that scans and removes viruses as they move through SMTP. And that ends this edition of Security Wire Weekly. Be sure to check out our previous podcasts by going to our podcast landing page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. And as always, you can get the latest news and information at our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. For now, I'm Rob Westervelt, and for the rest of the Search Security team, have a great day.